You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
You know, one of the benefits of being at Kyle's house,
yes,
is first thing, it's beautiful. There's a lot of benefits, but you make really good coffee.
Thank you.
It's like, always coffee with you.
It is. It is. Well, I came from another place. I'm not going to say the name because it's got a curse word in it, but I don't want to say it on here. Well, it's Bad Donkey Coffee.
Oh.
And so I don't want to be that guy. But I do, because, I mean, I don't want to be shut down by YouTube or anything, because we're a family-friendly show.
We are family-friendly.
But, man, I'm filling this back up with yours, and I am just, this is good.
It's good.
That is Cafe Brazil.
Ooh.
Bourbon pecan.
By the way, if you've never been, if you live in the DFW area and you've not been to Cafe Brazil, I would highly recommend it. Great breakfast. And a cornucopia of coffee options.
Yeah, and they're not even sponsoring.
No.
That's awesome. That's great.
Hey, man, thank you guys so much for checking us out. This is Known Legacy. If you're a regular listener, man, we thank you guys so much for being a part of this journey that we're on. I think we're 250 episodes deep into this right now.
We are. We're excited to have you on. We want men to wake up, gear up, and come alive to who God created them to be. We are so excited you're continuing the journey with us today for yet another episode.
As always, check us out on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, Known Legacy. If you want to go to the website and sign up for the retreat we have coming up in September, we'd love for you to do that. And ladies, if you're listening, this is a great Father's Day gift, is that retreat in September. Phenomenal.
September 19th through the 21st.
Phenomenal. And as always, you can still get Bill's book from Amazon or your favorite book distributor.
Yeah, morethanyoubook.com.
Love it. Love it.
Check it out.
And so with Bill, you have a great shadow. You look like Mel Gibson from Braveheart.
Wow.
Braveheart. Because you got this like shadow on your face, and you look fantastic.
Wow, cut this. We're good. This is all we have to do today. We shall defend our isles. That's actually, that was Winston Churchill. Anyways.
Real close. So similar.
They can take our lives, but they'll never take freedom.
There you go. There
I don't
you
know
go.
Where I got Winston Churchill from that. I'm sorry, because he was actually fighting the English.
Right.
Stories.
But to that movie, didn't even think we were going to end there. He was thrust into this role that he was not expecting to take. He did not want to take. And all of a sudden, he was thrust into this leadership role.
Yeah.
And, to lead the rebellion against the English.
Yes.
And fantastic movie. I haven't watched it.
Absolutely.
See, you can get away with that.
I am Irish, so.
So here's my question today, as we kind of get rolling, as we get into this. If you could do anything, let's say today you get the phone call, what you're currently doing is no longer viable, you've been fired, you've been released, whatever, and they said you can do whatever you want, what career, what vocation would you want to move into if you knew you couldn't fail and you could go and do it?
You know what's funny? I would do two things. But I think the first one that really comes to mind is I would probably open a coffee shop.
Really?
Yeah. Because I love the dynamic of people. Now I do understand people, like, they get all real on you. And like, well, no, you know, you got to be there early. I'm like, yeah, I'm not a morning person, but I could be the late person. If, like, personnel wasn't a problem and you could find people that would work.
Right.
I would love to open a coffee shop.
Excellent. Excellent.
Have a little, like, I actually used to have this name for it. I was going to call it Beatniks. You know what I'm saying? And like, so it's like poetry and all that kind of stuff. And like
a throwback to the 60s.
Yeah, kind of very much like trap. But like, so there's like open mic nights and things like that. I would do that and make really, really good coffee. Probably some 12-gate coffee.
12-gate? I've got another coffee company you might want to try out.
Well, we might need
Edge Coffee Company. But anyways.
I might need to figure that out.
Kyle, our lovely producer, is running the cameras and audio for us today. Thank you so much. Kyle, what about you? If there's something else you could do, what would it be?
What would you do?
Pilot. I would go back and be a fighter pilot.
Fire pilot.
Yeah.
Fighter pilot.
I'm too old for it, but
that's
you
okay.
said there's no restrictions.
Yeah, there's no restrictions.
No restrictions.
So yeah.
I love it. I love it. You know, for me, since I thought of this on the ride over, what I landed on is if I could do it all over again, what I would do is I'd somehow figure out a way to buy 100 acres someplace and put up a main house with like a kitchen and a beautiful dining room table that can seat like 12, and then like 6 bungalows.
Ooh.
To be a retreat, a week-long retreat for pastors and their wives.
That sounds awesome.
And I would just like, I'd cook for them, I'd converse with them, I'd pamper them, and I would just help them kind of take a rest from the chaos and maybe just maybe tap into the reason why they got into ministry in the first place again, because it's so easy to lose that the longer you're in the mission and ministry.
If you're a multimillionaire out there, Known Legacy is looking for a retreat center for Travis to work at. So
we would be honored for that. And Travis at knownlegacy.org. If you want to get in touch with me directly, we'd
be more than happy to make this happen for you. So
anyways, we have a guest today, and I got to tell you, I've known this guy for over 10 years, and he just continues to impress me as an individual, as a dad, as a man of God. And the way that I would describe him is he's a hidden hero. Ooh, and what I mean by hero is 99% of humanity is never going to know his name. And yet he's been in bands. He's traveled for bands. He's been in movies. He owns a coffee shop. He owns a coffee roasting company. He owns a farm.
Wow.
He farms okra. Why okra? I don't know. No one out of the South likes okra, but he's doing it. And he's just a guy that whatever is laid before him, he steps into it. Wow. And he just does what it takes.
Yeah.
Like a hidden hero is a guy who does whatever it takes. And the thing that impressed me the most, I got to preach at his church on Sunday. And he has done life in such a way that his kids not only love the Lord, but serve alongside him.
Wow.
In the Lord.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm like, man, this guy is doing it right. And we need to get him on here and have this conversation. So everyone, let's welcome Steve.
Hey. There he is.
Man, it's great to be with you.
So Steve, if you could do, this is a dangerous question for you because there's a good chance it will happen
this
in the
next
year.
This is only a 40-minute episode. We need to
if there's anything, let's say tomorrow everything came to an end and you could start all over and you could do it again, what would you do?
Well, the first question is, would it be successful? What is guaranteed that it's a success?
Yes. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yes.
Okay, then I would go back to working in movies and be a movie star.
Whoa.
Like, I would love to just move to Hollywood, and that some of the most fun I had in life was being in movies. And
wow.
I wasn't any good at it, so I didn't make a living doing it. But man, it was fun, and it was great, you know, getting a script and being a different character for, you know, for a period of time. But you just, I didn't make any money. So that was like, well,
yeah,
no fun. But
so
if you can guarantee you're going to be good at it and you're going to make money doing it, then I'd say that'd be a fun one to do.
Well, and I would put on there the caveat, it will not corrupt your soul.
Yeah,
that's kind of a big caveyat. You're right. That's
I'm liking the thumbs up thing on his phone. That's kind of neat. So
you know, that's how it works.
Hey,
Apple.
It's Apple. Good old Apple. I think when you do this, it pops up a thumbs up.
Oh,
I think
does
it's
it?
Kind of.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great.
It's kind of neat. There it is. There it is.
Hey,
there it is.
Watch this good. Real quick. If you're not watching this on video, I'm sorry. You should check us out on YouTube.
Yes.
Put up two thumbs. Put up two thumbs and see what happens. Oh, wait. Yeah,
there it is.
There
wow,
it is.
I love those kind
of. That's gorgeous. That's
nothing says movie star like
so,
fireworks behind
Steve,
you.
Steve
would do that a lot today.
There you go. That's it. Steve, quick question for you. What are there any movies that we would know that you've been in?
So the movie I still get paid for with SAG is The Last Castle. That's the really the that's the one that
okay
that
yeah
the biggest budget. That was a big. I mean,
who were you in The Last Castle?
I worked with Robert Redford and James Gandolfini and Mark Ruffalo and Delroy Lindo. It's a lot of good. There's a lot of good actors in that film. It came out right at 9/11, though, so it was kind of a difficult period. We filmed it the spring of 2000. One, which means it came out right when 9/11 happened. That's when it came out. So it was a difficult release time, but it was a great film. I loved it. I kind of had a blast doing it. It was my first big budget thing. Really got. I mean, I got my agent after that. So I got a part in that movie, and then got an agent. And then after that, most of it was my time was in Nashville. So I lived in Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I was doing music videos and you know, I'm tall, so I was Alan Jackson stand-in for music videos for a while, so that was always fun.
Why didn't we start with any of this?
Yeah. But you don't make any money doing that, so that was good. I was volunteering as a youth worker at a Lutheran church in Tennessee, in Nashville at the time, and like my day job was, you know, $300 every once in a while being a stand-in, or I mean, I did, you know, some actual acting in music videos as well. So that was, those were good
any,
times.
Any specific music videos?
Yeah, some of them I'm not super proud of. But
okay, maybe. Paisley,
Brad Paisley's Alcohol, I was a cop in that.
Shut up!
Video. Yeah, and it was, I was given, so the funny thing was in that video, I was a cop, so I'm dressed in kind of the cop outfit, and there's a whole bunch of college kids from David Lipscomb and Trevecca, two colleges there in Nashville, and so there's all these kids, and they're dressed in togas because they're supposed to be. This video is called it's for the song Alcohol.
Yeah, for Alcohol. Yeah.
Yep. So I'm standing outside between takes. I'm standing outside Brad's bus, and I see them walk around the corner dressed in togas because they're playing their part. And, you know, they're probably not getting paid. I was getting paid. They were probably just doing it for fun.
Right.
They walk up and they're kind of looking at the bus. And I came around the corner and I just said, hey, hands off the bus.
And playing the part.
And they go, oh, sorry. No, sorry, officer. And so I didn't say anything to them. I kept kind of looking like I was watching them the whole time.
That's hilarious.
And they kept looking at me like he's watching us still. And then eventually I get on camera and I'm giving somebody a DUI test, and a couple of them come up and said, you're not even a cop, are you?
That is awesome, man.
I love it. So, like I said, man, he's a hidden hero of the faith. So I would love to know from you, how did you go from like pursuing the dream of acting, and you were in a worship band, or you were in a band at the time too?
Yeah.
How did you transition from that into full time ministry? And like, what was God's calling for you? Because one of our hearts is that we would help guys wake up, because so many guys are asleep in their lives, asleep in their relationships, asleep in the world, that they would learn to gear up. And that means like taking on the gifts that God's given us and taking ownership of those gifts and then coming alive, realizing that true life is following where God's leading.
And
I would love to know kind of what was your journey on that, to go from pursuing the Hollywood dream to being a Lutheran pastor. I just think that's fascinating.
So I was actually a DCE in Wisconsin for, you know, 8 years and burned out kind of at the end of that time. I was just done and left.
Really, really quick. Can you just acknowledge what a DCE is
for those DCE who is the director of Christian education. So I worked for a church.
Awesome.
I worked for a church leading education. I actually ended up also leading their kind of overseeing their preschool program there, and then in the 90s I started their contemporary worship program at that church. So I had my hands in a lot of stuff, and honestly, just I was young and I didn't grasp that you can't do everything all at one time. And
burnout, man.
I burned out. So, I mean, I had three kids. My kids were little. My youngest was one. And I just said yes to everything. Got completely burned out and left and thought, I'm leaving ministry for good. I'm never going back. And I went to Nashville because I was a pseudo recording artist in Wisconsin. I had an album out and I was touring, you know, private, you know, small things in Wisconsin. I was opening for a Christian artist that would come to Wisconsin, and you know, they're always looking for somebody to open, and I opened for a number of bigger people in Wisconsin. And then I got a deal in Nashville with some friends, good buddies who played in a big band, and recorded my second album down there and my third album down there. So in the midst of all that, I thought I was never going to go back to church work, and especially when I started acting. And then it just, you know, my kids got older, and I didn't really want to travel much anymore. I had been, you know, playing the guitar and singing background vocals and writing and doing all sorts of music stuff and acting things, and it just got again kind of the same situation. I just got to the point where I thought I can't do this anymore. I'm not making enough of a living.
Right.
And in reality, And it was God pulling me forward. I really should have gone to seminary right out of college because I felt the call to ministry then and sort of kept pushing it off and pushing it off. We kind of got to the point where we lost. I lost the job I had. I lost. We had nowhere to go. It was at the very end of the summer, so it's really hard to start at seminary then.
Yep.
But for the whatever reason, I called a couple of people. I had my wife had an uncle that used to teach at one of the Lutheran seminaries, and so I called him, and he said, "Call this number, talk to this person. You can still get in this fall." And like, we made the decision to go to seminary almost with not even thinking of it. We just decided that's the next step. And it's really, you see God's providence all over it. It was really great. It was awesome.
The fireworks of the decision, man.
Yeah, that's it.
To go to seminary.
Yeah. So that ended up being a great transition. You know, I kept working in acting. I kept my agent. I actually got a new agent in Indiana. We went to Fort Wayne for seminary, so I ended up having an agent in Indianapolis. And I was probably the only seminarian at the time that was moonlighting as Bible Man's nemesis.
Wow.
On the Bible Man series.
Wait a minute. Who were you on? Yeah. Time out. Who were you on Bible Man?
Isn't that crazy? Dr. Snort and Scoff.
Yes.
Professor Emeritus Snort and Scoff on the Bible Man show. So I was bald with the mohawk. It was great.
So you knew Buddy.
He was gone before I got there. He started Bible Man and then he left.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So I was there when Thomas Nelson Publishers picked it up, or Tommy Nelson picked it up.
Okay, yep.
I got a call from a friend who used to produce and direct the Dove Awards, and he called and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a new nemesis for Bible Man. Give me your best." I was in traffic in Nashville, and sitting in traffic, and he said, "Give me your best evil doctor, like evil person." And so I kind of went, and I'm in this, you know, traffic. All people are watching me, I'm sure. I'm going, "I love it." And I gave him that kind of snarky thing. And he goes, "Hey, so like, I'm hiring you.
Can you be here next week?
I want you to be Bible Man's nemesis." So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was hilarious. My wife said, he said, "I need you to shave your head." And I said, well, I'm going to have to call Becky and find out if she's cool with me shaving my head. And I called her and she said, "Well, yeah, how much will they pay?" First of all, my wife was always like, "How much is that going to pay?"
She's so pragmatic. I love her.
Yeah, it's very pragmatic. And I said, "Well, Liz, honey, they want me to cut my hair, though, so I'm going to be bald." And she said, "It'll grow back."
And little did she know, it was never growing back.
Grow back.
It's not growing back.
There it is. Oh, and the fireworks didn't happen that time. She's like, and there they are. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. So you have moved from there. So when you decided to go into seminary, what was the pinch point for you that was like, this stuff is great, but this calling is from God? Like what was your main pinch point there that moved you from that to ministry?
That's a great question, Bill. My pinch point was that I felt the call to plant a church. So I felt the call to do something. I'm an entrepreneur by nature. And when I found out that we're planting churches and sort of starting with new wineskin, I felt like I could do that. I didn't think I could be a regular pastor. I didn't think that was in my wheelhouse, but I felt like if you want something created or someone to walk a group of people through making something new, I felt like I could do that. So I went to seminary believing I was going to be a church planter. And then and that process was confirmed through our time at seminary. I think for me it was when I found out that we needed church planters.
Yeah,
that's really what did it.
I love that, and I love your entrepreneurial spirit when you planted the church. Because as a fellow church planter, I tend to go with the more traditional approach for church planting, where you gather together a bunch of strangers, you launch into worship, you develop a discipleship, and everything else. But at the end of the day, we're probably going to have a traditional worship gathering in a traditional worship space, right? But you felt the call not only to do church planting, but to do it in a very unique, at the time, way. And a lot of places are doing it now. You launched the Edge Coffee Shop in Fort Worth right there. What was that like? And what were some of the hurdles that you experienced trying to do church through a coffee shop?
Mm. Yeah. So the biggest hurdle, I think, with any church plant is the funding. I was fortunate to have Crown of Life Lutheran in Colleyville, Texas, that basically said, here's your, your job is to plant the church. We will fund as much of it as we possibly can. And so that made it possible for me to think big and dream big. And it was rough, we had to go back to them quite often and say, hey, we're out of money again. And it was a little odd starting a coffee shop, because we started with some capital things that no other church plant started with.
Right.
Very few church plants, buy a $10,000 espresso machine to kick things off.
Yeah.
And for us, that was, spending money on that kind of stuff was routine. And we were blessed to have a group of people with us that were willing to do that. I mean, we're willing to step out in faith that this would work,
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's awesome. And then I know, being a part of Crown of Life, they loved your stories, because you would always come in and share the stories of the impact that the coffee shop is having that a regular congregation could never have, because of the people that would come in, and you had trained your staff intentionally to kind of pick up on the nonverbals of someone coming in stressed, of someone coming in heavy-hearted, and how do you intentionally not just serve them coffee, but open up space that they could maybe begin to process whatever they were journeying with. And I love that model. And I still think at some point we're going to have Edge Coffee North in Justin, but that's another dream for another day. So one of the things that impresses me today, and I think it's, guys in general, they kind of have this very bifurcated life. They have their job, and then they have their family, and then they have their ministry and mission, whatever that is. And you've blended all three of those, I think, very intentionally. Is that something that you set out from the very beginning with, or is that something that just developed over time and now you're enjoying the fruits of that kind of journey? Because I think guys, man, a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this and to figure out a way to do ministry or business as ministry with your family is huge.
Yeah.
So what's that like for you?
So that came pretty natural for me, largely. And my dad wasn't in ministry. My father was a banker. So it's odd, but I can remember my dad including me in business things, with him, everything from, going to Rotary with him and as a junior hire, meeting his friends and kind of learning to network. My dad was very instrumental in how I launched everything I did, but even the church plant. He was very instrumental in how I did that, kind of my passion to be an entrepreneur. And I think that my desire when we started was that, how can I do something that my family will gain from or participate in rather than be punished by?
That's huge.
Sometimes pastors, and I don't know how to, I'm not sure why we do this, but a lot of times I talk to pastors that are, their families are in disarray, but their churches are doing well, and they can't seem to navigate the handshake between the two. And I don't know. I'm not sure why that is. For me, it's just that I was very intentional on including them where I felt like they could be included without forcing them. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that, my son led worship this week, and that's actually my middle. My youngest son is our regular worship leader, and he was away on business for his job. And it's like they grew up serving, so it's, I don't know. I just, it really is a blessing, I think, sometimes when I look at my kids and how active they are. And I think my daughter might have sang this week, too.
She did. You know, and the beautiful thing is, not only did your daughter sing, but her daughter was on her hip most of the time. And so it was this beautiful kind of like your son leading, daughter singing, granddaughter up there, too. Yeah. It was wonderful. Beautiful, beautiful.
You know, but it does bring to light, I think, something I would say you're almost overlooking because it's so natural. Is I think there's a difference between inviting and forcing.
Yes.
And I think that's what we deal with a lot of PKs, pastors' kids who are away from the Lord. And there is that little element of, no, you're going to be here versus I would love you to be here.
Right.
And you know, even in that, I've had more guys who have said, man, when my dad, because I love that you said your father set that example, that it's the idea of inviting them in versus forcing them to be there. And there's definitely a tension. I remember there was one time we were like, for my son, we're like, he didn't want to come to church. And this is not to toot our horn. It's I'm going, what did all the other smart people that I knew tell me to do? You know, and I was like, they were like, Bill, don't force him. He was like 13, 14. He was like, I really don't want to go to church. I'm like, listen, this changed me and mom. I want it to change you, but I can't force it.
Right.
And then you're like on your face going, I hope I made the right choice because I just told him he didn't have to come to church anymore and I'm paid to be there. What do I do? And so you're scared. But man, God is faithful in that is what I'm seeing. And so I think for the leader out there in church who's like, I'm going to get my kid to church and they're good because the word.
And they have to behave a certain way and they have to be like this. Yeah.
Yeah. I would challenge the listener now to go, man, if my kid absolutely hates it, I would challenge you to say, give this to the Father, just like Abraham gave Isaac and said, God, like I'm not gonna, I don't want to lose this kid, but I want him to see you the way that I see you.
Yes.
And so I love that, but it also leads me to go, what would you say to the guy out there, that I would say half-hearted believer, who's like, I know God's called me to something, but I've got all these things I'm doing. How do I start to move towards this idea of who God's created me to become? What's some wisdom you would say to that guy listening?
Great question.
Yeah, I think that it's similar to the way I felt when we were in Nashville right before seminary, and I thought, man, there's so many things I feel like I could do, but I've got, you know, these bills or, you know, these things that I have to be responsible for. And eventually, I think that God handled that. Like it's a walk of faith where you just realize, you know, I do the next thing and until those doors close, and at least in my situation, God finally closed all the doors. There you go. I'm sorry. I keep putting my thumb up accidentally.
That's okay.
You're good, man. You're good.
God eventually closed all the doors to where it was like a funnel. The only thing I could do was follow him to seminary. And it was so, it was almost relieving. I mean, we had, so just a backstory. We had made an offer on a house. We had decided I'm going to stay in Nashville and I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to start doing things there. And they were ministry things I wanted to do. And we're just going to stay there. We made an offer on a house. It was an accepted offer. We put our house on the market. Then I found out that my day job was ending and I was serving as a part-time youth worker at a church. And they said, hey, we're done. We can't afford to pay you after next paycheck. And that was like my income that I needed. Like that's the base that I needed to keep doing what I was doing.
Mm.
So we have this offer on a house. We've put our house on the market and almost immediately it sold. So now I've got, you know, my house is going to be sold. The house I'm moving to, I can't afford. So it was like we were pinched in a corner and the funnel happened and the squeezing happened. And we just threw our hands up and followed.
Oh,
and man, it's an uncomfortable spot to be. But at the same time, it's very relieving when you realize there's no way this happens apart from what God is doing. So I don't know. It's kind of relieving when it happens that way. You know?
So it almost feels like you're like, see where God is moving and then
join
before
him.
Exactly. It's just and join him. And so for the guy out there who's like, I don't know what's God, you know, what God's doing, I believe he makes it much more clearer than we think
right.
he does.
Yes.
And so then to look at your current paradigm and go, God, are you shutting these doors? And a lot of times we look at it like, what did I do wrong? And you're like, nothing. You didn't right. do anything wrong. God has something else for you in the next chapter. And so then it's to pursue, man, who God has created you to become.
I love it. And it reminds me of the imagery of God being the gardener. And often we see a pinch point and God sees pruning. And he's like, no, I'm cutting these things out so that you can be more, you can flourish more in the way that I created you and I'm calling you towards.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you're experiencing what you would say a pinch point, whether it be a job that's changing or a location that's changing, man, see that as God pruning you to get you where you want to go, right?
Yeah. And I, you know, we have never done this on here, but Steve, I almost would love you to just really quick, the guy who's listening, who's stressed out, Would you mind just praying for them right now? Yeah. Would you be willing to do that, to just pray over them before we go into the Fast Five? Because I think there's these heavy-hearted guys who are wrestling with this, and that's our goal here. We just want men to come alive to who God created them to be. And it's those things of, it's not going to be a linear thing. This equals this equals this. And we think success in the Lord is, and then in 5 years I become this, and then I get CEO, and then I do whatever. It could be all over the place. You could be with Brad Paisley one day, the next day you could be roasting coffee beans.
Right.
And so I'm going, that's why I love your story, but would you mind praying over these men really quick?
Yeah, let's pray. Gracious Father, I'm so thankful for this podcast, this opportunity to be together and across the bandwidth of the internet. Lord, I'm grateful for the chance to speak a little bit. And Lord, I pray that those men out there, somebody out there definitely is sensing and feeling you moving. Lord, I pray that you'd give us faith, give them faith to put their hands out and say, Lord, you're here and you're in control. Lord, we know how hard it is in our lives looking backwards. We can see your hands, but when we look forwards, we start to get shaky knees, not knowing where it is you're going to pick us up and where you're going to hold us. Lord, would you give us opportunities to walk in faith and then give us the motivation, the leading of the Spirit to walk with you. I pray especially for those who might be tentative about moves they might make and about ways they might put their faith and trust in you to move forward with something. Lord, I pray that you would give them the assurance that comes in faith. Really, it comes by the Holy Spirit's work. And so I pray that the Spirit would be moving in hearts and lives. And thank you for these men and for the way that they continue to be a shining light to other men and walk with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's like from Brad Paisley to James Gandolfini to Bible man and Jesus.
Oh, God.
I love it.
I'm telling you, man, a hidden hero who just does what it takes to follow the Lord. I love it.
Man, this has been great. And, you know, as we finish up, man, we have our Fast Five. There it is.
It's so cheesy.
There it is. All right. You ready for this, sir?
Yeah.
Question number one, who do you most admire and why?
Yeah. So my... this is kind of a weird one because nobody knows this person. It's my great-great-great-grandpa Herman.
That's awesome.
And the reason I admire him is in 1836, he put his entire family on a boat in Germany and trusted. And I want that kind of faith. I want the kind of faith that isn't afraid to risk every single thing. I mean, I think about it. He said goodbye to his parents. He put his family on a boat. They traveled in steerage. I don't know if you know what that is, but on the Olbers, the ship Olbers. And when they got to New Orleans, his five-year-old died.
Oh, wow.
And so they started here with just a horrible event. And, you know, that kind of faith to feel like God's calling you to do something and risk everything, that's the kind of faith that I want. So, want that.
I would say it paid off for him because his great grandson is walking in those, and I love that. So, and that's again what we talk about—not just for us, but for our great grandchildren. Would we do this for the glory of God? So, praise the Lord for that. So, number two, where would you like to go on a vacation?
So Becky and I were in South Florida for a few years. Our first little bit of marriage, we lived in Miami, and the Keys were always my favorite spot. So if I could go anywhere on vacation, it would be an isolated beach, maybe even an island in the Keys, and just be on the beach and do nothing.
That's awesome.
Well, if you want to, while you're on that vacation too, we are mobile podcasting, and so we'd be more than happy to join you on that secluded beach and do a something local.
I think one of our retreats needs to be on a beach at somewhere. Everybody's like, "Where are you going to go?" The beach. There's like one mountain guy. We're like, "Forget you. We're going to the beach." So awesome. Okay, so what are you currently reading right now? The Bible or another book?
I'm reading The Familiar Stranger by Tyler Stanton. Do you know who that is? I don't know.
No,
I'm not familiar with that book.
So Tyler is the pastor at Bridgetown Church in Portland.
Okay.
The Familiar Stranger is a great book about the work of the Holy Spirit, actually, okay. working in your life and walking with you. It's a small book. It's pretty easy read. That's my Tyler Stanton, the Familiar Stranger. Great book. I think Thomas Nelson Publishers, I believe.
Okay. Love it. Familiar Stranger. We'll check that out.
Yeah, we will.
Number four, what is a goal you have for this year?
Finish my dissertation. So I'm working on my doctorate at Asbury Theological Seminary right now. So I'm trying to get that dissertation.
Of course you are.
Like I said, man.
My doctorate is, my dissertation is best practices for doing business as mission.
Oh, wow.
I'm wanting to get my research done this summer, so I've got to get this finished. It's been a long process, so
I would say try to live it out first. it's always easier to do something if you live it out. So maybe take a couple years and do some things that don't make sense. Start a coffee shop, things like that. Try to work. Well, that's awesome. Two thumbs up for that one.
Yeah, two thumbs up.
I don't get fireworks. There you go. There it is. Boom. Fireworks. Okay. All right. And number five, what's the most impactful piece of advice you've ever been given?
My dad used to say, when you have a big project, when you have a big task, like it's going to take you months, get something done today.
Mm.
It's kind of probably the same adage as how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
One bite at a time. Yeah.
Yeah. So my dad would say, this was a typical conversation with my dad in the summer. He would make us have some kind of goal for the summer. What's your goal this summer? And then you'd give me the goal and he'd say, well, every day when he'd come home from work, he'd say, well, what did you get done today? Well, if you said nothing, he'd say, well, go back outside. You got to get something done. Get your goals done by getting something done today. So that's
That's good. That's really good. Man, Steve, this has been, I would say, an honor to have you on and hear this. Steve, any final thoughts for our listeners that you would want to share?
I think that I love the name of this podcast, especially the legacy part, because I think that a lot of the motivation in my life has been how am I leaving what legacy am I leaving? And so I think guys, we have that desire, especially as I get older. I recognize that probably when I was in my 20s, I wasn't thinking legacy very much. I was just doing what I could do to get through. But the older I get, the more I realize, man, I'm 57. That's old.
It's pretty young. It's pretty young, actually. I'm going to say that coming from my side.
I feel old. And eventually I'm going to look at this life and I'm going to say, well, what have I done?
Yeah.
And it's not going to be that movie or this movie or that cut on somebody's album or what. It's going to be my own family. What did I leave? And who's going to carry this on? Yesterday, my grandson and I were working in the garden. He's 4. And we said, one day he's going to tell his grandkids, I know this is kind of a stretch, but one day he's going to tell his grandkids, these are the beds that grandpa and I built in 25.
Wow.
Wow.
The point is that my back hurts so much from building these raised beds. And I'm like, I don't want to have to do this again. And when you leave a legacy, you leave something that generations from now, they're going to go, hey, that impacted us. It made it easier for us to be the touch of Jesus in our community because of this.
Yeah.
So good.
That's mine. Yeah.
Man, this has been rich, and you're going to be back on again. You don't have a choice. So this has been great. Guys, Steve, thank you so much for...
Of course.
Thank you so much for sharing. This is our fireworks, is the applause. But thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. Steve, we are blessed to have you on. And guys, if you're out there, just keep on dreaming. I hope this has been a blessing to you.
Absolutely.
Travis, any final thoughts?
Man, sign up for the retreat. God bless you guys and have a great week.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you, so email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.